evening, everybody. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Carpenter Shop, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for being here, God. We thank you for this time, God. We thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that we're going to receive. Father, we thank you for those who are in the room, God. We thank you for those viewing online, God. We believe that your word is going to stand true. And because we are here, because we are available, God, that you are going to elevate us in a way that will allow us to go further toward the purpose you have for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you for being God. We thank you for being holy. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Father, we lift your name tonight. God, we honor you for who you are. Church, if you believe that, can you stand with us as we worship tonight? Yes, Lord.
Your name, God.
church, can we do just that? Can we lift his name? Can we lift the name of Jesus, the name above all names, the one true living God, the God who sees us, the God who saves us, the God who covers us. Lord, you're worthy. God, you are holy. Lord, you are awesome. God, we invite your Holy Spirit to invade this place. Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to saturate us, to consume us. God, we thank you. Lord, let us be more aware of who you are. Let us be more aware of your existence, more aware of your presence, God. We want to see you, Father. We want to experience you. Church, right there, there's a perfect time for you to worship our King in whatever way, in whatever way. The Bible tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. So if his presence lives in my praise, then I'm going to lift my hands. If his presence lives, if his presence exists in my praise, I'm going to say hallelujah. If his presence exists in my praise, I'm going to say, God, you're worthy. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice that is triumphant. Amen. Triumphant voices walking in victory. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Just lift your hands for a moment all over the building. Those of you that are watching online, just join us, would you? Just lift your hands in your homes or sitting on the porch or riding down the road. You don't have to shut your eyes. Just lift your hands. Praise God. Lifting our hands is a sign of, God, I'm just going to release this. I'm just going to release this. I give it to you. I surrender my own plans. I surrender my own desires. I surrender my own likes and preferences. And I just ask you by the Spirit to reign in this situation, to reign in my life. Amen. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, be with us now as we look into your word. Pray, God, that you would cleanse our mind of thoughts, attitudes, things that have happened to us today or even this week. Let us receive tonight, God, instruction from your word that will help us. In Jesus' strong name, and everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated in his presence. Talking about spiritual gifts. Amen. Amen. Spiritual gifts. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're a gift. Amen. Turn back to him again one more time and say, you're gifted. Now that's the difference right there, right? It's the difference in being gifted and being a gift. Amen. We'll discover that tonight as we look into God's word. I want to take up where we left off last week in talking about spiritual gifts. And we were on the third section of what I had outlined as spiritual gifts according to God's design. This is God's plan. The Bible says he releases spiritual gifts, if you're in the King James, severally, as he wills. Okay. You know, how many times have you been in a service and somebody has manifested a gift and you say, man, how come she's always speaking in tongues? Have you ever said that? Come on, just say yes. All right. Sometimes we wonder, have you ever assessed someone? Have you ever said, I wonder why, you know, I know that girl. Why is she used? Come on, y'all, lighten up. It's Wednesday night, all right? Come on, how many of y'all have said that? Raise your hand. Tell the truth. Let the Lord love you. Why is he used all the time? Why is he in prophecy all the time? Come on. So the Bible says that God releases them severally as he will. The third point that we were making in God's desire, we're going to go through several of these tonight, is that spiritual gifts may be given at the moment of regeneration. When you're saved, you may start walking in spiritual gifts, but they also may be resident inside of you and just lie there undiscovered. Maybe you have a spiritual giftedness that you haven't executed yet. In fact, I believe in this room tonight there are probably people who have spiritual potential and gifts that you've yet to step out in faith and be used by God to do it. Amen. And they can lie there dormant and undiscovered for a long period of time because believers discover their gifts through a gradual process. I'd like to think that I've come a long way since I first committed my heart and life to Christ at 19 years old. I committed my life to Christ at 12, but I wandered off the path of God during my college years. Man, that's a rough season. Because you know what? When I left Hertford, North Carolina, Northeast North Carolina, and I moved to Raleigh, I was like a bulldog broke his chain. Come on, somebody. Because you know what I knew? My daddy's nowhere around. My mama ain't nowhere around here. And I can do, come on, help me here, I can do what I want to do. Because, see, I grew up in a home where I wanted to get my hair cut a certain way, and my daddy said no. He told the barber how to cut my hair. Anybody else raised in that household? Come on. But I came to a place where I wanted to exercise my desires, my will, and the bulldog that broke his chain, man, he realized in Raleigh, North Carolina, there was a lot more possibilities than the little village, the little hamlet that I grew up in Northeast North Carolina, Hertford. And I just went to the extreme. I just went to the extreme, and I just went way out there, and I ventured off the path that my parents raised me in. And if it wasn't for this young lady that I was interested in, you've heard my story, if it wasn't for Joy, I wouldn't have got back on that path. She introduced me to a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just didn't know what to do with that. I thought, and suddenly I realized, soon after that, I realized, as she told me later on, that I was really a test for her. You know, she had made a commitment in her heart and in her life that she was going to serve the Lord. And the Lord allowed me to come along as a test. And guess what? She passed. Because the very first night I went out with her, I had, you know, I just had, I'm going to kiss this girl sometime here along the way. Come on now. Somebody say juicy fruit. Come on, I'm going to get those lips. And I was determined I was going to get there. I remember what I said to her. Is that some ducks over there? And she said, where? And I, pow, man, I'm in it. Okay? I'm in it. I'm on them lips. As a matter of fact, I could take you to the spot in Elizabeth City where it happened. Amen? I could. Somebody say, welcome to Bible study. Come on, y'all. I could take you to the spot where it happened, because I had already hit the ball, man, and I'm on first base, okay? That went over some of y'all's head, okay? But God used her. God used her to witness Christ to me. And the crazy thing was, I knew after just being with her a couple of times, I knew, you know what, you're destined to be married. I don't want to be married. I don't want to be married. And I knew in my heart of hearts that I was headed down a trail that was not my plan. And God used her to position me to serve him, to put him first. And then thankfully, I get to spend my life with her. God's good, isn't he? So, yes, go ahead. God is good. And spiritual gifts, you know, that I didn't realize that inside of me were spiritual giftings. But as I became discipled into the things of God, I discovered that there were certain gifts and abilities inside of me. And the longer that I've served him, the more that I've discovered that God has things inside of me that he wants to use. And can I say this to you tonight? The longer you serve the Lord, the more you'll discover those things that are inside of you that God wants to use for his glory. But you got to be willing. Come on. I said one time last week, and this is why I know where we are. The question would be, will I, if I step out, pastor, in spiritual gifts, will I falter? Will I fail? Will I make a mistake? Will I flub? And the answer is what? Yes, you will. But you don't quit because of that. You don't. You try again, and you allow somebody to speak truth into your life. Get you a meaningful mentor to coach you and help you. Pastor, would you, you know, do you know anybody in church that could help me with this? Absolutely. We've linked up one person with another to help someone with preaching and teaching, and you know, the music department does it in singing. You know, you don't know this, but there are people on this platform here that behind the scenes, you know what they're working on? Vocal lessons. Okay? So you get some help along the way to help you to excel in the things that you believe God's called you to do. I'm serious about, you know, being used by God. You know, I watch myself preach on a regular basis. Why? Because I like myself? No, because I want to like myself. Okay? I want to say, hey, did you do a good job? And where did you miss it? Did you wander off the path here and just didn't know how to get back or whatever? Because, listen, God wants you to be the very best that you can be in what it is he's designed to use you in. So you want to make sure that you're sharpening your skill set, sharpening your gift set, doing the best that you can. And get somebody that will tell you, not you did a good job. Everybody wants to hear that. You know, I remember when I preached coming up in my church, I was like a kid. I was given the opportunity to preach in my church. And in the morning, Monday morning, I beat him to his office. I was sitting on his doorstep. And I wanted a question answered so bad. And that question would be, how did I do? How did I do? Okay? And this is what he said to me. You did fine. No. How did I do? You did fine. And so I got the answer to that question over the next series of several months. Either one, I did too fine, or I didn't do fine at all. One, I did too well, or I didn't do well at all, because he never asked me to do anything else in the church. He didn't invest in me. He didn't have a willingness to mentor me. He didn't have a willingness to tell me the truth. And you know what? Maybe I've discovered in these latter 10 years or so, I thought, God, maybe you allowed me to experience that, so that when I was trusted with a ministry, that I would have a willingness to invest in people all along the way, whether I liked them or not, whether I thought they were gifted or not, whether they were my favorite or not. I've always been willing to invest in people that God places in my path. And so you need somebody in your life to speak to you about how you're doing in terms of spiritual gifts, how you're doing in terms of public speaking, how you're doing with your singing. You know, and leaders in this room can tell you that's not an easy task. But you as a leader and a mentor in someone's life, you owe it to them to do what? To be honest. Tell them the truth. Well, I've told preachers before. I've told you last week when I sit and talk with people, after you preach for me, I say, hey, number one, I want your outline. Send it to me by email. What, you want my message? Yes, I do. I want to see where you're going Sunday. And then after Sunday, Monday or Tuesday, let's get together and look at you. Let's watch you together. And I've had to say to people, listen, when you got right here, man, I don't know where you went, but you went way out there somewhere, and then you couldn't get back. Okay? Because, listen, God has given you giftings, and you want to make sure that you have a Paul in your life. Everybody needs a Paul. That's a person that invests in you. You got a Paul in your life that will help you and tell you the truth. And then everybody needs a Timothy. You need somebody that one day you can serve as the mentor and you can help somebody along the way. And then we all need the Barnabas. Who's he? He's the son of encouragement. We all need Barnabas. So you work with someone that you can trust and you have a meaningful mentor and you ask them the hard questions and you tell them, listen, please be honest with me. How did I do? Well, you know, You did okay, but I mean, I've told preachers this before. You were all over the map, man. I couldn't tell you what your subject was. The title of it was this, but I don't think you ever got there. Okay? Is this making sense to y'all? Yeah. All right? Tell me the truth. Yeah. All right. you want to be honest with people, and you want the people to be honest with you. Fourthly, spiritual gifts can be abused and neglected. Spiritual gifts, prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These are power gifts. Also, gift of encouragement. Whatever you, I don't know, no matter what it is, and we'll get into the varied gifts in these next couple of sessions, but you can abuse those gifts or you can neglect those gifts. The Corinthian church is proof that believers can be spiritually gifted but also be immature. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look at this. Brothers and sisters, so Paul's writing to who? The church. He's writing to the church at Corinth. He says, brothers and sisters, man, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Remember, I just asked you a moment ago, have you ever seen that person? Like, why is God using him? Paul says, I couldn't address you as people living by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. You don't have it all together yet, but you're over there prophesying. Okay? He said, verse 2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And I like this little punch that he gives there with the rest of it. Indeed, you still ain't ready for it, okay? You weren't ready for it, and you still not. Because as you study the behavior of the Corinthians, I've told you before, I've illustrated to you, the Corinthian people were a worldly group of folks. They had ungodly examples in that community. They had immorality abounding in their community. Corinth was referred to as the city of 1,000 prostitutes. They had all kinds of mess going on. And then we're going to church, and they were speaking in tongues and using prophecy and stuff like this. And Paul said, man, you guys are worldly. So can God use someone who don't have it all together? I said, can God use someone who don't have it all together? Yes, he does. He's using you, okay? He's using me, okay? You don't have all the T's crossed and all the I's dotted, but God is using you and God is using me. And here's what we know for sure. Paul spent a bit of time talking about the use of spiritual gifts, because you have 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and then you have 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 devoted to what? Spiritual gifts. And in the middle of it, you have a sandwich here. You have a piece of meat in the middle called the love chapter. And Paul is trying to tell us, listen, whatever you do, you make sure whatever you do it how? In love. Or else you'll be a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Anybody ever grow up on the gong show? People would come up on the platform and start singing. And then some people couldn't handle it. And they would go up there and get that hammer and go, boom, sit down. America's Got Talent. We've gone from a gong to a buzzer. Sit down. I don't want to hear this anymore. And so listen, the same is true of us as we are utilizing the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we just need God to pull the buzzer on us and say, man, don't listen, sit down for a while and learn, okay? In fact, God teaches us much about spiritual gifts, and the greatest thing he teaches us is whatever we do it in the spirit of love. You and I are called not to abuse gifts. Because you prophesied over someone last week, don't mean that every time you get in a Christian's face, you're going to give them a word. Okay? All right? Are y'all got this? Look, God chose to use you, gave you a word. You knew God gave you a word. You were scared to death, but you did it anyway. And it felt good to you, didn't it? But man, I was like, I prophesied over somebody. And that don't mean that it's God's will for you to prophesy over everybody you come in contact with. Because that's dangerous. How should you be led by? The Spirit of God. Thank you. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. Jesus was led by the Spirit. We're going to talk about that Sunday morning. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God. Okay, so fifthly, there is a distinction between the gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. There is a distinction between the gift of the Holy Spirit and spiritual gifts. John 14, 16. It tells us that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for all the believers. Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. King James, comforter, helper. I'll give you help. I'll give you someone who's called alongside you to help you. In the original language, the word is parakletos. He's the paraclete. He's one who's in the passenger seat. He's letting you drive, but he's like the driver's ed instructor. Okay? You remember those days when you were trying to get your license? You had to go through training. And there's a break on the other side too, okay? And sometimes God will put the brakes on you, man, say, what are you doing? Okay? Why are you doing this? Slow down. And so we have the advocate that has come along. Jesus left us and he ascended to the Father, but the Father poured out the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. Acts 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, at salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. This is a controversial doctrine, man. It is a doctrine. It is the most argued doctrine in the Bible, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you surveyed several people in this room, especially the preachers, if you surveyed the preachers and the teachers in this room, even though there may just be a few of us here tonight who are in ministry, you could probably come up with varied feelings. Does it mean that one of them's right and the rest of them are wrong? Not necessarily. But you would have a different perspective. Well, this is the way that I see it. This is the way that I feel according to the scriptures. This is what I see. We're going to talk about this some on Sunday morning. And I think it's interesting that we are on spiritual gifts on Wednesday night, and I'm in the book of Acts on Sunday morning. Action dynamics. So at salvation, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life, but you're also positioned. Somebody say positioned. At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in, okay? And he's dwelling inside of you because you're his temple, okay? And he's inside your life. And you're positioned to start walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's another arena altogether. There's so much controversy here. Therefore, all believers who have experienced salvation have received the Holy Ghost, okay? And then furthermore, you are positioned then to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's a difference there. This is a second work that God desires to do. He wants to save you, and then he wants to do what? Fill you with the Holy Ghost. And listen, you need to be filled over and over and over and over again. If you study the book of Acts, you will find out that it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And then you'll find another passage, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Talking about the same people. Well, I thought they got filled in Acts chapter 2. No, they were filled over and over and over and over again. And you know why they needed to be filled over and over and over again? Because they leak. Pardon me for just a second. Somebody just said the pastor's full of hot air. You leak. You leak as a believer. You don't think you leak? You get that iPhone in your hand. You done had dinner tonight. You're sitting back in your lazy boy watching television, and something comes on the channel that's a little edgy. You leaked. You don't think you leak? You watch that television and the wrong movie comes on, and you know full well you don't need to be watching. You leak. You be in a crowd of your friends and somebody tells what some people call a left-handed joke or a little dirty joke, and you just, oh, you cackle, man. So what's happening to you? You're leaking. And you need to be filled. You need the Holy Spirit to blow the wind of God's power inside of you, the wind of his character inside of you again and again and again, because you leak. Stay away from church a couple of Sundays. Don't go to Bible study. Let your Bible lay on the table. Never find it on your iPhone app. You just leak. And you need to be filled over and over and over again. Because you leak. The Bible teaches that they were filled and filled and filled and filled again. Because you know what? You're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you fill with yourself. Okay? Sometimes you're filled with yourself. You're in warfare with your carnal nature. Okay? You're in warfare with your carnal nature, and the one you feed will be the one that will govern you. Let me say that one more time. You're at warfare with your carnal nature, and the one that you feed will be the one that will govern your life. Sometimes, don't you feel spiritual sometimes? Why is it you feel spiritual? Because you fed yourself spiritually. You listen, going down the road, listen to Maverick City. I'm gonna wait on you, man. You riding down the road. You got everything going just right. You're thinking about the Word of God. You read your little devotion this morning. You're on your way to work, and man, you feel like the Holy Ghost, and you are on the same page. Come on. But did you let somebody cross you and say something wrong to you? You out. You're out, okay? And so what do you need? You need that moment where you get in his presence and I'm not going to blow it up again. Okay? But you need to be filled again and again and again. Amen? So you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, but that's not the same as spiritual gifts. Okay? You get filled with the Holy Spirit. And then God will begin to develop and begin to allow you to execute spiritual gifts in your life. All right? Last week, we had a chance at the altar service. I just said to someone, hey, just come over here, man. Just stand here. Throw your arm up around my shoulder and just stand there. Sometimes it's not so much what you say or how you prophesy, or sometimes the tremendous gift of God's anointing and presence on your life can be to that person, can be to that moment, a spiritual gift. Can you say amen? It can be a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are not the same, number six, as the fruit of the Spirit. Spiritual fruit is produced from where? From within. From walking out your relationship with Jesus Christ. Spiritual fruit will develop. Spiritual fruit will grow. Spiritual fruit are from a relationship with Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Spiritual gifts are imparted from without. God manifests from him to you spiritual gifts. He manifests them in your life. They're from God the Spirit, given as a what? A gift, okay? It's a gift from God, a gift from the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, walking in relationship with him, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit, okay? I know people that seem to manifest spiritual gifts, but as you look, but as you look at their lives, you don't see much fruit. If I had my rathers, I'd rather see much fruit than to hear, you know, more tongues, more noise, more prophecy. Come on, y'all. Paul said, I'm glad you speak in tongues. Okay? I am. But God wants to see what? He wants to see the manifestation of his power, his character in your life. Okay? He wants to see that. Number seven, spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. Spiritual gifts belong to Christ followers. Those who believe in Christ begin to see manifestations of God's power coming through their life. Okay? Natural talents are there from birth. Have you ever had somebody say, man, he's just a natural? You know, some people just play ball good. Not me. I got chosen last. Every time you ever grow up in school, you know, they're picking teams. They're always, hey, give me Noah. Yeah, come on, Noah. We got it. They get Noah. They get John. They get Bill. They get all these guys. And I'm the little chubby kid standing on the side. I'm last. Anybody else was last besides me? That was me. Okay? Because they didn't see what? Natural gifting. They knew I couldn't play, okay? So it was tough for me. It was tough for me coming along because I had to develop things that were not natural for me, okay? So natural talents are there from birth. And in some cases, gifts of the Spirit can coincide with natural gifts, but the spiritual gifts bring a spiritual quality that transcends all the natural gifts. It just goes over and above and just makes you effective in the ministry. Number eight, just because you have a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you're called into the ministry. Okay? Just because you have a spiritual gift operative in your life doesn't mean that you're called into the ministry or you're called to a ministry office. Paul said this in Ephesians 3, verse 7. Look at this. He said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. God, he's saying, listen, God is the one who laid his hands on me. God is the one who called me out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the gospel. And if you go on down into chapter 4 of Ephesians, you discover in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. Here in this case, the gifts are what? Human beings. Human beings. The gifts are embodied in a person. That's a gift. Somebody say, my pastor is a gift. Thank you so much. That's kind of you. Here, the gifts are persons. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, teachers, some to be evangelists. And what is their role? To prepare God's people for works of service. He's placed those gifts in our lives so that they can help us, teach us, impart unto us the word of God, preparation for ministry, training. And Paul exhorted the church. He said, listen, what I want you to do is be willing, be eager for the greater gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you, that's all of us, right? Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second of all, prophets, third, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, and different kinds of tongues. But he asked a question in verse 28. Is everybody an apostle? And the answer is what? No. Does everybody have apostolic ministry on their life? Are you a father to the people? Do you have a fathering spirit? Are you raising up ministers of the gospels? Are you releasing ministers to the gospel? No, not all of us are that. Are all apostles? Do all prophesy? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Does everybody in the church work miracles? Okay. Do all have gifts of healing? Okay. Some of you, when you think about, you know, you think about a certain need in church, you say, hey, I'm going to call so-and-so. Okay. Why? Because it would appear that they are walking in a manifestation of miracles and healings. Okay. I said just a couple of weeks ago, listen, some of you say, man, is Pastor Mike here tonight? You say, why? Because I need prayer for healing. Well, what does that tell me? That you have a feeling that Pastor Mike is walking with the manifestation of healing in his life. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So you'd say, hey, I'm gonna contact him. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that because listen, God has placed people in this body that excel specifically in a certain area. Okay? And it's not to make us partial or jealous or like, well, you know, Pastor Wallace, you know, he's upset. Why? Because everybody goes to Pastor Mike for healing. No, 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 no. The point of the matter is, as long as you get healed, I don't care who prays for you. Okay? Okay? It doesn't matter. Because God does what? He releases the gifts. How what? How he wills. Okay? And guess what you have when you have this gift, that gift, the other gift? You have a combination, a collective effort of God bringing multiple gifts together in the body. Okay? That's a wonderful thing. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 teaches us that, number 10, God's gifts. Gifts are God's spiritual equipment for effective service and edification of the body. God has released spiritual gifts for this reason, so that the body might be edified, the body might be encouraged, the body might be lifted up, the body might be empowered and impressed of the Spirit that, Lord, you're with me. You're not going to leave me here. You touched me. You healed me. You encouraged me. You gave me a word. 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have. What's the purpose? So that you look good in the church. No. Not that you look good, so that you can serve others. Okay? You use your spiritual gift to encourage others. Can you say this? Can you say that, man, I always got like to see Sister So-and-so. I always like to hang around Brother So-and-so. Because every time I'm in their presence, here we go, they make me feel good. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Because some people, when you're in their presence, you leave them feeling better than when you walked up to them. Now let's flip the coin. There's some people, every time you get in your presence, you feel like, man, they just spit all over me. They just spewed all over me. I just feel dirty. How are you doing? Oh, well. You just became a trash dump. Okay? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because some people just need somebody just that they can unload on. Okay? Have you ever had this happen to you? You're in Walmart shopping, okay? Trying to find that big smiley face where they lowered the price. And you turn your basket and you're walking down the aisle and you back up. Oh, and your wife says, "Where are you going?" "So and so's down there at the other end. I don't need to get caught up with them." Come on, y'all. Have you ever ran into the store and you said, "Man, I'm going over to the dog food aisle because I don't need to get caught up in this." You say, "Why are you going to the dog food aisle?" "Because they don't have no pets." Okay, they're not going there. Let's just hide out for a few minutes and they'll be gone. So some people have the gift of encouraging you, and some people just can't help it. They will suck the life out of you. Okay? Y'all are quiet tonight, man. Y'all run into some of them people, haven't you? You just have to be careful. So you should use whatever gift you have to serve others, comma, as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Spiritual gifts are not given to you to make you look good. Spiritual gifts are not given to be a sign of some special posture or some special position you have with God. They're not. Spiritual gifts are always released for the body's good, for the body's edifications, for the body to be built up and encouraged in their walk. That's the purpose of it. And then number 11, high mobilization of spiritual gifts was the key to rapid multiplication of the church. You see, every person in this room, if you operate at your maximum potential and the giftings that God has for you, and you are participating in the ministry of encouragement. You encourage through prayer. If you're gifted to pray for people, you encourage through prayer. If you're gifted to prophetically speak, then you offer that prophetic word as you feel the Lord speaks to you. If your gift is helping, then you come alongside and help. You know, you're always the one to go on and say, "Hey, you guys need anything I can do, Pastor Mike? You got this mission? You guys got everything you need? Is there any way I can help you get ready? Can I help you? Can I assist you?" That's a ministry of what? Helps. Helps. Okay? Some people are the ones who just always seem to be the wind in your sail. They're there to encourage you. And if everybody operates in the spiritual dynamic and the spiritual gifting that God has placed in your life, man, the church will be such a shining example of love, a shining example of unity, a shining example that causes that church to be a city on the hill. Amen? That's what we want. We want the church to be united with God's heart, God's purpose. I was talking to someone yesterday as we come to a close here. I was talking to someone yesterday who really doesn't know much about our church. But they said, "You know what? We've been watching you. And man, I've never seen," this is what they said, "I did not even realize that in northeastern North Carolina there was a church that is as diverse as your church is." I said, "Wow, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. They said, you know, I've been looking to find a house that I could settle in that would be diverse and a representation of God's people. And I've never seen a church like this. The first time Alvin Slaughter came here many years ago, I was taking him back to the airport in Greenville to catch the plane. And he said, Pastor Wallace, he said, I have been all over the United States and I've sang in so many countries. And he said, in the U.S., he said, I don't think I can remember a church like Ahoskie. I said, what are you saying? He said, there's such a diversity in your house, but there's such a spirit of love and unity. He said, can I ask you a favor? And I said, what's that? He said, what are you doing next Monday morning? I looked at my calendar. I said, nothing that I'm aware of. Why? He said, I want to fly you to Miami, Florida, and I want you to go on television with me on the PTL, the Praise the Lord program, and I want to talk to you about Carpenter Shop International Church. And God, listen, you can go to YouTube. This is funny. This is funny. Some of you search YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search Pastor Wallace Phillips and Alvin Slaughter, and you will laugh when you see the guy that comes on the screen. He's got dark hair. He's slim. Come on, kind of like this way. Okay. Corey's gonna look it up tonight. He's gonna find it. I was on there a couple of times. But you're going to laugh. You're going to say, wow. But that was in the day when we began to integrate this fellowship and the unity of the Holy Spirit began to settle in here, because Psalm 133 says that. Where there's unity there, he says, there's where the blessing is. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful to be a part of a diverse congregation of believers in which the spiritual giftings are here, okay? The spiritual giftings are here. There are spiritual giftings within the lives of every person in this room. How many of you could say, Pastor, since we started talking about spiritual gifts, I've seen God do something unique through me that I have not experienced before? Would you raise your hand quickly? Look at that. Look at that. Look around. I've seen God. I've heard God speak to me. Okay? I discovered a long time ago as a pastor, Corey, you get what you preach. If you preach on salvation and faith, which we did the first quarter of the year, what happens? People come to Christ. Now that we're preaching on spiritual gifts and the moving of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know what God's going to do in this next quarter? People are going to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of them are going to speak in tongues for the very first time in their life. Some of them are going to begin to walk in spiritual gifts that they've never walked in before, because God is going to honor His word. You get what you preach, okay? So let's look forward to God fanning the flame of His presence and His power in our life and receiving the outpouring of the things that God desires to do. Can we stand together? Can we come to this altar tonight and just spend a few moments in His presence? Can we do that? Just come and lift your hands and come and love Him as we begin to sing. Just come and love Him. Just step close to the altar if you would. And just lift your hands and shut yourself in. And look, treat yourself like this. Look at this. Just treat yourself like this. Say, God, fill me up tonight. Release the wind of your presence and your power in my life afresh and anew. Some of you may feel like, hey, I'm standing here, I'm beginning to pray, and I just feel something coming up that I've never felt before, and it doesn't sound like English. Just speak. Just speak. Just allow God to give you that heavenly language. Allow Him to give you that utterance in tongues that maybe you haven't experienced before. Just worship Him. Worship Him. Lord, fill me. Come on, make it your prayer. God, fill me. Fill me with your presence. Fill me with your power. Breathe into me, God, something that I've not experienced before. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pray one for another. Pray one for another. Some of you may want to lay hands on someone. Come on. Lay hands on someone. Just proclaim the power of God over their lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what you designed for her life years and years and years ago. Thank Share a verse of scripture with you that comes from the book of Matthew. Which of you, if your son asks, somebody say ask. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? The Bible teaches us that God desires to give to us. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts? Somebody say good gifts. Good gifts to those who ask him. Come on, Lord, just ask the Lord to empower you. God, empower me. Gift me. God, execute things in my life, God, that I didn't even know were in there. The desire, give me the desire to be used by you. When I desire, God, would you release those things into my life so that I might encourage the body, so that I might be used by God to be a part of those who build the body up, those who encourage the body. Because the Bible says that each of us are given gifts to cause the body to be edified. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise tonight, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.